Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul's not stuck in colder weather. He sent me a picture of himself in shorts today. I then responded, "I hate you." So it was a nice exchange this morning with my partner and I, but so glad to hear your voice at the top of the hour, my friend.
Hey, I rarely get lucky these days, but I planned this trip a couple of months ago to drive east in a beautiful BMW X7. Thank you, Motorworks. They loaned me a vehicle to head east with Lori, and so we packed it up with more crap than I thought could fit in the back of an SUV. It's amazing what you can do when you're driving and not flying. You just haul more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Lori, how many suitcases? What do you have? Four suitcases?
Oh, boy.
We're only gone for a week. Anyway, no, I'm on the air. That was a rhetorical question. So anyway, we're in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Filled in for Dave Lee this morning from my dad's place, and he's going to be joining us tomorrow afternoon, 3 to 6, for another one of his stories. And it got up to 75 today. The AC was on.
Wow.
In the,
that's amazing.
The X7. And, didn't pack sunscreen, so I was kicking myself for that. But look.
Okay, enough. We might kick you off the air right now if you don't zip it with the sunscreen. But Paul, I mean, obviously you've been watching closely what's happening here at home. And David's, we're seeing reports of 3 inches, but David says there was at least 4 inches by the time he got downtown before the show. And I just watched a plow truck, like a giant sand truck, get stuck in front of my house. So it's bad out there.
Yeah, it is. And, it was an advisory this morning. The Weather Service upped it to a winter storm warning. The good news is, if you don't like this stuff, it's going to be over by about 6 o'clock. The back edge of the snow now already into the western suburbs, far western suburbs. Mm-hmm. So maybe another inch or two on top of what you already have. And what you already have is pretty impressive. I'm seeing Maple Plain only 3.5, but that's the exception. Glenwood, 7.5. Hastings, 5. Almost 6 in Olivia. Bloomington, 5.2. Yeah. 5.2 in Eden Prairie. So I think downtown right now it's probably 4 or 5. And when it's all said and done, it'll be 6 or 7, making it the second snowiest storm ever to hit Minnesota, at least the Twin Cities specifically, since
the
late
1800s. That's crazy.
But again, remember when Kenny Blumenfeld from the DNR was on the air last week and we asked him the question about big snows or cold fronts in October, is that an omen, a harbinger of the winter to come? And he goes, Paul, no. If you look at the data, I mean, look at the Halloween superstorm in 91. We had almost 30 inches of snow. And people thought, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. And then it didn't snow much, and it wasn't that cold the rest of the winter. So resist the urge for gloom and doom that it's going to be a horrific winter. The data just does not show that. Not to minimize the hassle the next couple of days getting around. But
is this stuff going to melt soon? Is it going to melt in the next few days?
There's going to be some rain here on Thursday. That will bring the totals down. Daytime highs will be just above freezing. It's going to be colder early next week. Daytime highs below freezing a few days. And then the models all warm us up after Halloween. First 2 weeks in November, a streak of 40s, maybe a couple more days up around 50. So, your handsome husband, Mark, asked me, is mm-hmm. this the lasting snow? Do I still have time to get out, you know, take care of the lawn furniture?
Good question.
And I wasn't done with the raking, and I get that. None of us were done with the raking. I think we're going to have an opportunity. Most of the snow will be gone, but probably not until the first or second week of November. The pendulum swings back milder than average, but definitely a shot across the bow and a reminder that we are a suburb of Winnipeg.
Oy, he's pretty upset about the lawn furniture. He was lamenting that he didn't take it in this weekend. I said, honey, it's okay. It's outdoor furniture. And he's like, well, it's going to get ruined. He was thinking about going out. I said, I think we'll just wait this one out.
It's all going to be fine. Deep
it's
breaths.
Be, it's just furniture. That's right.
Who told me? Who told me about deep breaths?
Okay, you're done. Great talking with you. Go enjoy your shorts.
Breathe.
Get some sunscreen.
Sure.
And
breathe.
We'll talk tomorrow. Yes. Okay. Hey, cut him off, David. That's it. He's done. It's my show today. I'm going to mute his mic like the presidential debate. That's Thursday night. When we get back, I want to leave extra time. Stephen Belton, president and CEO of Urban League Twin Cities, joining us next. A lot to discuss with my next guest, and I'm thrilled that he is once again joining us. Stephen Belton is the president and CEO of the Urban League Twin Cities. He's joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jordana. Nice to be with you.
Yes, I'm sorry about our snow. You heard Paul is in sunny and balmy Pennsylvania, so you're stuck with me today. But we so appreciate you coming back.
Of course.
A couple of points in the news that I wanted to get to before we get into the – I wanted to talk specifically about the black vote. They call – you know, we always hear about the black vote. Well, what does that mean, and who are they supposed to be? We don't like to clump all people into this one genre, but I'm going to talk with Stephen about that. But just yesterday, Chief Arredondo demoted his chief of staff, Art Knight, for referring to police officers as white boys. Now, this happened, and when I read that, I wasn't surprised from what I know about the police department. But were you hoping there would have been more progress at this point?
I was, but I was also concerned. Frankly, I know Art Knight, and he is he's a brilliant man, a great police officer, a wonderful human being. And he had an unfortunate choice of words. The choice of words referring to white boys is an offensive term to some, and he shouldn't have used it. On the other hand, he's has said, and I absolutely agree with him, that to make this the narrative is just going down the wrong path. The fact that he made this one unfortunate statement is just blows out of proportion. That what he was talking about is the fact that we have had so little progress in diversifying, being more inclusive with our police department, and that needs to be the story. The same people who are complaining about what Art Knight said need to complain about what Bob Kroll says on a regular basis, because his mouth is full of vitriol and hatred for black people and for other people of color, for people who are not white men. And so there needs to be the same sense of outrage and a demand for his demotion. Actually, we need to demand that he leave his job. So.
You know, I'm glad I asked you that then, because I do think people make mistakes. I've made mistakes. And I, you know, this, you know, firing people or canceling people just by saying one wrong thing when we know that that might not be what's in their heart. I think the explanation that you gave, that there was more to this story, that it might be out of context, was really important for the Minnesota listeners to hear and to understand. And I'm glad I didn't know that perspective. So thank you for clearing that up for us about Art. I appreciate it.
Sure.
I briefly wanted to ask, we just had a debate here on CCO. It was Dean Phillips and Kendall Qualls. Kendall Qualls, the Republican, run against Dean Phillips in the 3rd District. And Kendall Qualls said that during the debate, and you and I have discussed this prior, that, and for those who don't know, Kendall Qualls is a black man. He said that he doesn't believe that there is, he believes that there are racists, but that he doesn't believe that there is systemic racism. How is it that he can have such a different view of things that you and I know to be true?
So the fact that Kendall Qualls is an African-American is kind of irrelevant to this. As we'll talk about in a moment when we get to the issue of what is the black vote. Black people are not a monolith. And so this idea that black mm-hmm. people all think the same, that we vote the same, that we have the same position and response on issues, is just inaccurate. And so it's possible for Kendall Qualls to have this view based on his life experience, based on the values that he was raised with, and based on the ideas that he claimed that he came through his own education, through his own experience, through his own relationships to make his own or her own. So I don't know that this is so much an anomaly as it is a peculiarity. It's something that strikes us as going against what our expectation is of what all black people are supposed to believe and what they're supposed to experience.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because, and I know this is not a moral equivalency, but people always, I'm a Jewish person and openly, and I'm observant, and people always say to me, well, how do Jewish people do this? Or how do Jewish people vote? Or what if Jewish people think about this? And right. I always say, well, you have to ask the other ones, but yeah. This is what I think about that, because there are very different viewpoints in, you know, we're all individuals. You know, we don't all have the same view, even on things like Israel or, you know, the Iran deal. We don't all have the same viewpoints on things like that. So let's talk more about that, because we do hear the black vote, black voters, like as if you vote in a block. And other than the individualism, talk to me about when we use that term, the black vote, what does it mean and what should we know about that?
So the black vote is often raised in issues where you have a significant black population and you have tight vote margins. So think Michigan. We're in the state of Michigan. Michigan voted Republican for the first time in a long time in the 2016 election, but the margin was 70,000 votes. So there you, I don't mean this pejoratively, but there are literally blocks, a few blocks you can walk in along the streets of inner city Detroit where you probably have 70,000 people who just didn't vote. And so it's usually used to cast the idea of who can make a difference. So it's the idea is a block. But what that fails to do, Jordana, is to take into account the nuance of why people vote. People engage on a variety of different perspectives. Black people do. So some are voting economically. Some are thinking about taxes. A lot of people mm-hmm. are thinking about social justice issues. But a lot of people are engaging like everybody else on the basis of personality, what they think a candidate can do for them. And when we think about the black vote is monolithic, or as though the assumption is that black people are going to vote Democratic, you're failing to understand that why black people are voting for a particular party or for a particular person really has to do with what their enlightened self-interest is all about. It's like any other group of people. We don't usually think about the white vote, because our assumption is that white people vote all over the place and for different reasons, maybe even supporting the same candidate, but also for different reasons in there. And the same nuance, the same sense of complexity needs to be applied to this idea of the black vote.
And in our ignorance, and I'll say that this is my own, I'll only speak for my own ignorance, you know, I often think, well, the issues for black people should definitely be racial equality. That should be at the top of their list. Yet I do see that, you know, there are many black voters that vote for President Trump. And I don't know that racial equality, this is just my opinion, of course, is on the top of his list. So it always, again, and I'm only speaking for myself and in my own ignorance, it always surprises me when people say that they're going to vote for President Trump. And I was surprised that I heard Kendall Qualls say that this afternoon. But I appreciate the insight into that. And I mean, would you agree with that statement that it's not only racial equality that's on the top of black people's minds when they're voting?
Well, let me push back first and say, I don't know that it's a lot of black people voting for President Trump. President Trump himself said, look, there's my black guy.
Even he
acknowledged that he's got one. So maybe there are three or four. The point I'm getting at, Jordani, is that I don't think that black people have a common understanding of what racial equality means. Yes, I think race is primarily front and center for black people. But for some people, that means the ability to get affordable housing. For other people, that means the ability to get a job and to be able to educate their children. And so the complexity of how race impacts how you are feeling and experiencing race as an issue is as broad as the diaspora of African descendants in this country itself.
Stephen Belton is the president and CEO of the Urban League Twin Cities. Stephen, in the minute we have left, what else did I not ask you that you want to share, mention here on the show?
You didn't ask me how I'm feeling about this weather.
Oh, honey. Oh, my gosh. I know. So are you loving it or are you hating it? You're a lifelong Minnesotan, right?
I am a lifelong Minnesotan, but I'm not happy about it. You know, it was pretty for the first hour. But now I'm looking at my driveway and it looks like there's a half a foot of snow, and it probably isn't that much, but I know there are 4 or 5 inches, and I'm not looking forward to getting out there with the snowblower. So at least you don't have to drive anywhere. When I think about this, I really do think about people who are sleeping under bridges and in parks and in camps. Yes. And I just think about what a blessing it is that I have personally about my own privilege of being in a warm house and, you know, having a snowblower. But I think about people who have to trudge and who actually have to make their life outdoors right now. And my heart aches for them.
Amen. I know. I was on a walk the other day with the kids and I saw tents, you know, out by Harriet. And I said, imagine what it's going to be like for them when it gets cold. It's really hard. And I do hope they go to places like a Union Gospel Mission or find what they need. Stephen Belton, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering my questions, which, you know, are never meant to be, you know, they're only in my own ignorance that I wouldn't ask the proper questions. So I really appreciate you putting up with me.
Ignorance leads to enlightenment, Jordana. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Appreciate that. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
You know, he's so right. We really got to think about that. First of all, I love having him on. It's like going to church every time I talk to Stephen. It's fantastic. But he makes a really good point. We're all, the snow, the snowblower, the plowing, the driving, or how beautiful it is and how we love it. David and I were talking about how we can't wait to go snowboarding. But yes, as of 2 days ago, I was driving around Lake Harriet and I saw tent villages, and I don't know if those people have gotten the assistance that they need on a day like today, because it is nearly impossible to be outside. It's also 4:29. When we get back, we will hear about David's trip. He went out hiking and ended up, of course, being snowed out of some of that hiking. We'll hear more about his travels next. That's our David. He is never still for more than a few weeks. Boy, this quarantine has really cramped his style. He and his lovely bride, Katrina, and their two beautiful babies have traveled. They travel the world. They love to go and move, and the girls have been overseas, and they just do it all. And this past week, when David was gone, they were supposed to be outside camping. There are pictures of baby Winter asleep in the backpack covered with snow. I would have killed him, but that's how they roll. So, David, tell us about your trip. Fill our wanderlust, because we want to go with you.
Yeah, you're right, Jordano. It might be a disease that my family has, because
I think
I'm in the stretch of 7 out of 8 weekends that I'm gone, including two in the Black Hills this last weekend. And look, we are pretty adventurous when it comes to a lot of things. So our plan was to go to the mm-hmm. Black Hills and do camping for 5 nights. And this is not like campground where there's showers and bathroom. This is like drive down a dirt road and find a spot that looks good to pull aside, and you're peeing in the woods and cooking over a little tiny stove, and like that's
with an infant.
How old
is Caper?
She's 3 months, and Winter's 2 years old, and
she's an infant. God bless your wife, Katrina. That woman is a saint.
And you know, everything was going great, and we got there, and I'll still remember, we arrived at our campsite, and it was 63 degrees, and we start to set up camp, and we had a beautiful evening, and we got up the next morning, and it was in the 50s, and then it got a little colder. So in 24 hours, it dropped 32 degrees, and we woke up on our second morning to 23 degrees and frost on the windshield. And what was interesting is that our kids actually did fine. We had a new sleeping bag for baby Winter. We had her all bundled up. Caper was in like a little like sleep sack inside another sleep sack inside another sleep sack. And the kids were fine, but mom and dad were fully prepared for fall camping. We were not prepared for winter camping. So we called an audible, which, you know, the more I travel, the more I think that, having to change plans on the fly and figure things out. And we had a little team meeting. We were with some friends. We had breakfast and we go, okay, folks, what are we going to do? We're here. We got all this stuff. We're prepared for this, but we're not prepared for the cold. What are we going to do? So we made our plan. We said, camping's not going to work. We got to make a plan B. But we didn't even have cell phone reception where we were. So here's our plan. We're going to go to town. We're going to go to a coffee shop where we can get internet. And then we're going to look for a cabin in the area. So anyway, we figured it out and we got a beautiful cabin just outside Custer, South Dakota.
Did the cabin have heat?
Yes, yes, yes. The cabin had heat and, you know, indoor plumbing and everything.
Listening to
this. It was just fine. So we made a new plan, and then we had a fantastic week in the Black Hills. And look, here's the reason why a vacation to the Black Hills or a place like that is great right now is that, yes, South Dakota is rising COVID cases, as we've heard. But here's the deal. We bought most of our groceries here in the Twin Cities and took them with us. We didn't go to any restaurants. We did a few, like, walk-up things. We spent our time on trails. Hiking and spending time outside and going to lakes and exploring nature for the majority of our trip. And then at the end, we had this planned ahead of time. We rented a very nice cabin in the northern Black Hills. They had 5 inches of snow on the ground when we got there. Our hot tub on the deck was fantastic.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah,
so, the group of us in our minivan, we kind of did our own thing and didn't have to interact with anybody else, which is a great way to do a vacation here during COVID.
I just don't know how you do it. I would need just the last part. I mean, I think you're very adventurous, but that would not be for me. Like, the kids and I are already looking at VRBOs in warm weather places that have pools or that have the beach to where we could walk to the beach because the kids are looking outside. They're like, oh my gosh, Mom, we're not ready. I get it. We've had such a beautiful spring and summer despite the lockdown, we could be outside, and now it's all hitting us like, oh gosh, okay, can't really even take a walk today.
I gotta say though, for folks looking for a place to go and an adventure to go to, I think whether you camp or not, that's besides the point. And look, I understand most people aren't as adventurous as us, but
correct.
You know, go rent a cabin somewhere and download the All Trails app and, you know, pack a lunch and go explore something and spend the day outside. And look, it's a little bit of work to bundle up the kids and get them ready. But once we're out and about and going, like, sure, we've got a potty chair in the back of the van and you're like figuring out things like that. But to be outside with family and my daughters took naps every day on the backpack behind me.
Yeah.
And it just feels good. I mean, it feels full of life to breathe mountain air and to eat a turkey sandwich on the top of a mountain somewhere in South Dakota. All of those things, at least for me, fill me with life and hope and a different perspective from the everyday. Even though, look, I wish we were in Greece or I wish we were somewhere exotic or getting on an airplane right now. But the reality is we're not, but there's places close to home, 8 hours down Interstate 90, that you can still escape from it all. And it's a stunning environment there, as well as many other places around our great Midwest.
Well, I think the Chamber of Commerce is on the phone. They want you to come and work for them, state of Minnesota. I love your attitude, David. And thank you for at least giving us a little break from this weather and having us along on your trip. So thank you. We'll leave a little extra time for Maxie today. He was very busy on the air yesterday talking about the death of Sid Hartman. We know Maxie was one of the people closest to Sid in his professional life. So he will join us next on CCO. 446 Jordana Green, Mike Max, as usual, working round the clock, but he is back. And I bet you're Sid storied out, but we didn't get to hear it on this show. So yeah, what was yesterday like for you, Mikey?
It was such a, it was exhausting and exhilarating, but it was so easy. Somebody's been, I've been asked about this the last couple of days a lot. Are you okay? But because you're focused on, I'm so thankful. I was focused on getting my work right, because I wanted to pay tribute to him and I wanted to do it right. And I wanted to make sure that, yesterday I did noon to three in Chad's slot. And I just want to make sure that we got the right people on to tell the right stories. And we had a variety. We had his, we had Barry Alvarez from Wisconsin. We had Lou Holtz. We had Jerry Kill, Jack Morris, Ryan Saunders, Milt Anderson, his driver. Jim Dutcher and Bob Stein, who, Jordana, you'll like this. Bob was a great high school football player at St. Louis Park in 1964. And Sid was not supposed to do this. You weren't supposed to, reporters are not supposed to recruit. But Murray Warmath, according to Bob, called him into his office and he said, Hartman, We got a great Jewish football player in St. Louis Park. I want you to go out there and get him.
That's really funny. I bet he did.
And he did. He went out.
He did. Of course he did.
He may have even promised him some headlines in his column if he came to Minnesota.
Oh, boy.
We also had both his ortho and his urologist on yesterday, Dr. Pat Smith and Bill Hughes. So we covered the gamut, but to back to your original question, that was really helped me therapeutically because I just have been so focused on, thinking about him and, how can we do this so that people really understand, not that they didn't already know, but get a real taste of who he was and the people that he touched, kind of a variety, and that's kind of saved me here the last couple of days.
And you guys did an amazing job. I mean, it was total coverage. You know, Star Tribune did a great job. Everybody on CCO did an amazing job covering it. I know it's hard for you because you have to be on the air, but you were also his close personal friend, which you actually were his close personal friend. But if you had to pick, a Sid moment or a story or just an experience you had with him that sort of either sums it up or is your favorite or the funniest, can you share that with us?
There are so many that I cannot tell. And it's not that they're that bad. They're just bad enough that it might offend the wrong population.
You hear that.
And again, of course, I've been thinking about so many. This isn't the best, but just to get, Sid grew up in a different era. And my wife and I went out with him on his boat one time in the St. Croix. And we got down there, and his boat hadn't been used for a pontoon. So he threw her a rag and some Windex and said, "Can you clean this up and then we'll come down?"
Oh, my God. Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
She just laughed and did it because, you knew he wasn't ill-willed with it. He just, that's kind of the way he grew up, And I've told this story many times, but I think everybody knows Sid knows this one. The Gophers are playing a basketball game. And sitting in the front row there, and the place is on fire, and the teams are down in the locker room. They haven't come out yet, and up walk the three referees. And Sid sees the first referee, and he looks at me, and he says, "Oh, God, look who's refereeing tonight," because you kind of get to know the faces of these guys. He goes, "He's the biggest hot dog in the Big Ten. He thinks everybody came here to watch him call a foul. He is the worst referee in the Big Ten." As he's saying this, he locks eyes with the referee. And the referee walks over to us. I thought, "Oh, boy, is this going to be interesting." And he bends down and he says, "Sid Hartman, I just want you to know that I referee all over the country and I'm retiring after this year. But when I come to Minnesota, the first thing I always do is go find a copy of the Star Tribune to read your column because you are the best columnist in the country." Sid pauses and he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, you're one of the best referees in the country. You can't retire."
Oh, God. Typical. That is great.
Eye, like, "Keep your mouth shut, son. This is the way the game is played here, And,
that is so great. That is great. We played earlier on the air. Jeff Day was on with Eric Escola.
Yep, I was in the car and I heard that. And it was just interesting. You're meticulous. And I can just see Sid, not want some of this column. And, hit 100, And,
God bless Jeff.
You called divine intervention or whatever, but the last day that we were in studios at CCO Radio that he could have worked there was his 100th birthday, and we did that show. And everything got closed down the next day, and we all got sent home. But, to make his final show on his 100th birthday, I'll never get over that,
Amazing. Just amazing. It's been extraordinary to listen to. Not many people have careers that span that long or work ethics. So I'm glad yesterday was helpful to you because I was hoping that it wasn't too painful for you to have to work through, but I'm glad it was healing.
Every time that you start to cry, you end up laughing. And Glenn Taylor kind of said that yesterday. And literally, you're almost moved to tears, and then you think about something he did. The things that, privately, we go for 20 years, we did a radio show, and it's 4 more years I did the radio our TV show on Sundays, and 4 more years I did the radio shows on Sundays, and so many times afterwards we'd go out for pie or coffee, and that's when it really got good. Lou Nanny and I used to take them out, and we knew how, we knew what his hot buttons were, so we would needle him and bring him into a conversation, And before you knew it, and he'd be exploding about something and mad about that, and it was just so entertaining. My wife was saying, because for 25 years, whatever it's been, you come home with some unbelievable story from Sid every time you're with him, and that was true.
I know it. It's like talking to Mike Max about traffic. We love to get you it's going like, on
you
the
know
traffic.
What? I got to tell you, I'm coming back from St. Paul Harding High School. They won their first game in 5 years. I said, we got to do a story on them. I emailed the coach today. I said, you going to practice outside?
Wow.
He said, you bet. We went out there. They're practicing outside at St. Paul Harding, the football team.
Today?
6 inches of snow on the field. And they are having a ball. And it was so much fun. I'm coming back from there. And these kids, you know what it is, dude? And the distant learning, they're just so pent up by the time they get to 3:30, they're just thankful to be out doing something, you know, and that's what they're doing right now.
So they have 6 inches of snow out there. They're freezing their butts off.
And they're practicing, yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're having
how
a ball.
Fun. Yeah, how fun is that?
Really
did you say they won their first game in 5 years?
Yeah, last Thursday night, they won their first game in 5 years. And you see these kids, they stayed out for the team. They gutted it out, you know, and they played hard. It's not a big team. It's a small numbers, but they finally got a win, and these kids are excited now, and they're out in the snow, and it was really uplifting to be out there today.
Oh, absolutely, so much fun! That's great. Are you on the air tonight again?
Yeah. 6:30. Tony Dungy's back to be my guest.
Great!
First guest. And Tony called me last night, and he says, "How's Minnesota doing?" You know, kind of like as we all kind of grieve through this. And Bill Robertson will join me, Commissioner Extraordinaire, and we'll take you up to the debate.
Yes, that's right. Well, no, that's tomorrow. Isn't the debate tomorrow? Or is it tonight?
Oh, we got him every night this week.
Yeah. All right, Mikey. Well, listen, be careful because the roads are bad out there. But thank you for sharing today. And thank you for the incredible work that you did yesterday.
I appreciate it, Jordana. Thank you so much.
You got it. Have a good one. Yeah, I was listening to Mike, and I of course, Chad wasn't on the air. He was with his family. But I just was thinking that, gosh, I know that telling stories and sharing is healing. But sometimes, I mean, Mikey was just so close with him. So, you know, David, I want you to pull up the text line. I don't know if anybody was texting in their own personal, up close and personal Sid stories, but maybe we'll have some left over. I don't know how often folks got on the air because there was such a lineup of celebrity hosts and celebrity guests that we had on yesterday that was really amazing to listen to. And of course, you can use the rewind feature at radio.com. It's up for 24 hours. The rewind feature is actually active, but you can go to any of the podcasts. If you did miss anything, you can take a listen to that, whenever you want, whenever you're feeling it. And you can take a listen to that whenever you're wanting to hear a couple of Sid stories. When we get back, we are going to speak with Sam Brody. Sam covers Congress for The Daily Beast, and we're going to talk politics. You know, today's the last day for a possible stimulus deal before the election. So we're going to talk about the latest negotiations in D.C. And the debate is on Thursday, by the way. The debate is on Thursday, so we're going to share a little bit about that. Did you know that a mute button is in play? This is what we have all been waiting for. Last debate was just sort of a goat rodeo. It's just a dumpster fire of Trump talking over Biden, Biden calling him a clown. You know, it was just a big, giant mess. So this time, I guess the Trump administration agreed to the fact that there will be a mute button. And for those of us listening at home, I think that will be a much more civilized debate. But I wonder if they're going to keep talking and we'll see their lips moving while they are the other person is answering. They're going to get 2 minutes to answer, and then the mute button will go into effect. We'll see how that goes, because they really only are 10 feet apart from each other. So we might hear one yelling and the other one's mic picking it up. So that might happen. So David, when you turn off our mics, we're in our own home, so you can't hear me and Paul yelling at each other. But when they're on the same stage, it's not quite the same effect.
No, but I think I'm going to watch that debate and take some notes, because, you know, things between you and Paul, it gets to like a sibling rivalry kind of a place often. So I think I might start muting some microphones at certain times. I mean, 4 o'clock was a great example of that. You guys kind of got in the weeds there. So,
well, you know, enough with the weather already, Paul. Enough with the weather. All right, we are wrapping it up. Travel during the holidays during COVID. I don't know if this looking outside your window makes you not want to travel for the holidays, but how are you feeling about that? We'll chat about travel next on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.